Welcome to Foundational You with Dr. Dean Hackett, the home of biblical teaching and cultural impact. We are so glad that you joined us for today's podcast. You can find out more about Dr. Dean, read his blog, and find more episodes at fdeanhackett.com. Now for today's episode.
Is there a greater significance to Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on what is commonly known as Palm Sunday than is usually recognized? On the church calendar, we know Palm Sunday as the time when Jesus Christ descended down the Mount of Olives and entered the city of Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate, and making that entrance as he came down the mountain, riding on the back of a donkey. The crowds began to gather along the roadway, praising him and hailing him, putting their clothes on the ground in front of him, putting palm branches down on the ground in front of him, and declaring him as the Son of David, the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, Son of David, declaring Jesus Christ to be the Messiah and the coming King that they had been looking for. Them putting the palm branches and things on the ground in front of him is why it's commonly called Palm Sunday. Zechariah 9:9 recorded it this way: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy of Zechariah specifically. The crowds were cheering, hailing Jesus as king, but the religious leaders were angry and frustrated, said to Jesus, "Shut them up, tell them to be quiet." Jesus' answer to the religious leaders was, "If I tell them to be quiet, even the very stones will begin crying out and praising me." But truly, there was far more happening in that moment than most realize, that has been more than that has been taught down through the centuries. I want to say that again. There was more happening in those events than has been taught or realized down through the centuries with the church. It became a major point in understanding God's time clock. Those events that took place on Palm Sunday became significant points in understanding God's time clock for the ages and for the last days and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to go back to fully understand this. We need to go back again to the book of Daniel, where we've just been studying and looking at the prophetic words from the book of Daniel, where God was literally writing history before it happened. We need to go back and look at yet another prophetic word that is there in the book of Daniel, looking at Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 to 27. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 to 27. I'm going to be reading them to you from the Modern English Version. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. So Daniel's praying, confessing his own sin and failures, confessing the sin and failures of the Jewish people, but also praying and interceding for the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. "Indeed, while I was praying and speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So Daniel is praying. He's speaking in prayer. Read it again. Indeed, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, actually an angel, right? The angel Gabriel comes to him and touches him. And the time frame is about the time for the evening sacrifice. He goes on. He informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks have been determined for your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. For know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Prince Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with plaza and moat even in times of trouble. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the troops of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall come with a flood, and until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the offering to cease. And on the wings of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed destruction is poured out on the desolator. Let's clarify the timing and understand the time that these prophetic events are going to take place. Now, in doing so, you need to understand two very important points. One, the calendar in the Old Testament is based upon the Semitic calendar of 360 days. They work, and this is all the way from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. They work their calendar based upon a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. The evening and the morning were the first day. So it's based upon a lunar calendar and a Semitic calendar of 360 days, as opposed to our Gregorian calendar that's based on a solar calendar from the sunrise in the morning until the sunset in the evening. Theirs is just exactly the opposite. The second point is you need to understand that, by the way, I need to share with you that the calendar that we're using was established by Pope Gregory the 13th in 1582 AD. Remember, God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. And then he commanded the children of Israel that they were to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, the Sabbath day. But he also commanded them, look, you work your fields for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, that'll be a Sabbath year, and it is to, the land is to lay fallow. You don't work the land on that seventh year. It lays fallow, a Sabbath year. And here in this prophetic word, Almighty God is giving to us, he said, there are 70 weeks have been determined. 70 weeks. Weeks is the Hebrew word Shebua, meaning a time frame of sevens. And so 70s weeks literally are 70 of sevens. 70 of sevens, because weeks, Shavuah, means increments of seven. So it's not just talking about 70 weeks, like we would count 70 weeks, okay, or a little over a year, 52 weeks makes up a year. No, he's talking about 70 of sevens. And what he's talking about is 70 of 7 years. Each week is 7 years. In other words, a full Sabbath, okay? And so we're talking a time frame now of 490 years total, 490 years. And the frame time is set up in two increments. The first time frame is set up in two increments. The first increment is seven sevens, or 49 years. The second part of that time frame is 62 sevens, or 434 years. And so he breaks this down, this first, and so that's a total of what, 69 weeks. The first time frame is 7 weeks. It started with Antiochus Longimanus, who gave the command to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. This is in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. According to the Greenwich Observatory, the date was March 5th, 444 BC. Now, when one adds 49 years to 444 BC, we arrive at 395 BC. Remember, the Old Testament is going from 4000 BC creation down to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's actually descending. So we say add 49 years. Actually, what we're doing is we're taking away 49 years. So we arrive then at 395 BC. The second increment, 62 weeks or 434 years, begins at that time frame of 395 BC. And what was it? It said that this is going to be the time of the Messiah, the Prince, until Messiah, the Anointed One, the Prince. Let me read it to you again. Then he said, talking about that the temple and everything's going to be built, but then he says, it shall be built with a plaza and a moat, even in times of trouble. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off and shall have nothing. But previous to that, what did he say? He said that Almighty God is going to bring you the Messiah, the Prince. So what are we talking about here? Messiah, the Prince. Well, on March 30th, 33 AD, here comes Jesus Christ fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, riding on the colt of a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And what are they doing? They're declaring him Messiah. They're declaring him the Son of David, the Prince. They are worshiping and declaring him that. The religious leaders knew exactly what was happening. Wait a minute. This is what Zechariah talked about. This is what Daniel talked about. And they see him as Jesus of Nazareth. This can't be Messiah. He doesn't look like the Messiah that we thought was coming. And they want him to shut the people up. And Jesus goes, no way, no way. Because if they shut up, the rocks are going to cry out. Why? Because I am fulfilling not only Zechariah 9:9, I am fulfilling Daniel chapter 9. I am bringing closure to the 69 weeks. 69 weeks are being fulfilled. That's the significance of what's going on here. It's not just Palm Sunday and Jesus being declared the Son of God coming in and into the week like we have celebrated. It is a prophetic significance that Jesus Christ and all of these events are declaring the 69 weeks have been fulfilled that Daniel talked about. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, in completing the 69 weeks, what do we have? Well, there's still a 70th week yet to come, right? Exactly. The Prince of the People who is to come is going to make a covenant for 1 week, 7 years. There's a couple of things we need to clarify if we're going to understand God's time clock of the ages. The prophecy says at the end of 62 weeks, actually the total 69 weeks, the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Not only will Jesus be crucified at the end of the 62 weeks in AD 33, but Jerusalem, the temple, and the sanctuary will be destroyed. That happened by Titus and the Roman legions in 32 years later in 70 AD. The 70th week will begin when the prince of the people who makes a covenant with Israel that lasts 7 years. However, halfway through the 7 years, he's going to break that covenant. He then will cut off the Jewish worship in the temple, and he's going to begin persecuting the Jews, and he's going to set himself up in the temple to be worshiped as if he were God. Palm Sunday is declaring the completion of the 69 weeks, because what's going to happen? 4 days later, Jesus Christ is going to be crucified, just as Daniel prophesied. And then 32 years later, Jerusalem and the temple is going to be crushed and destroyed, just as Daniel prophesied. But now, what about that 70th week? Well, that's going to be our study in the next podcast. We're going to come back. We're going to look at that 70th week. And where are we on God's time clock? I look forward to you joining me. God bless you. Thank you for joining me in this podcast today. I hope that you will make access to some of my other resources that are found at fdeanhackett.com. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. This Christ-centered biblical training is a ministry of Spirit Life Ministries. We hope that you are blessed by this podcast and share it with your friends and colleagues. For more information or questions for Dr. Dean, please contact us at the website fdeanhackett.com.